I start in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches and the treasure than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Again, our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today understanding that in a real special way your presence is among us. This is your temple corporate that you have come into to guide our body in worship, to guide our body in ministry, to your honor and to your glory. And God, as I preach your word, may this word lead our church people into action to change what they need to change, to have faith in a direction given by you. And may the Holy Spirit in a real and true way make us realize by faith that your presence is among us for your glory and for your honor, for this is your temple. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a uniqueness about this chapter, and it explains the effects or effects of faith on an individual's life. We've been looking at the life of Moses, and I'll probably have one more message on the life of Moses, and looking how faith produced a certain work within Moses' life. We saw by faith that there was a production of insight in Moses' parents to see he was a proper child. We then began to talk about how faith proceeds a response of refusals of titles and prestige. Today we're going to look at faith producing an ability to let go of Egypt. Then, following on in the next sermons, we'll look at faith producing a taking of the Passover, and faith producing power to pass through the Red Sea here in Moses' life. Again, today's sermon focus, and also if I have enough time, we'll get into the next point of faith enabling them to take the Passover. But faith in the focus of this message is this power to give us the ability to let go of Egypt. Hebrews 11:27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So by the means of faith, Moses was enabled to forsake, in the sense of leave or abandon or forsake, but even stronger, the things of Egypt. He was able to forsake the things of Egypt. Now, we're living in a world that we have anxiety in. We're living in a world as parents that we're trying to prepare our children to have a life that they can survive and thrive in every aspect. And as a Christian parent, as I look at my children as a Christian parent, I realize that they are not growing up in the world that I grew up in. And I'm sure my parents looked at me and realized I was not growing up in the world that they grew up in. All right? And there's this pressure from this world to make us try to conform to the standards of this world. There is this pressure that tries to mold us into making important in our life what this world, as their systems, as their thinking process, declares to us through their so-called experts in certain areas, try to declare to us to make important in our life. Education cries out one thing of importance, and we as Christian parents need to realize that by faith, we need to hold on to the Word of God and the direction of the Word of God, not fearing the type of world that our children are being brought up in, but rather having faith in what God tells us as parents to do. Bethel Baptist Church is a church that wants to equip parents in raising their children for God. Notice, parents are given the opportunity to raise their own children for God, and the church comes alongside of the responsibility that is given to parents for them by faith to have tools to equip them to raise their family for God's glory and for God's majesty. We do not take the place of parents. We do not take the place of husband and wife in the home. We come alongside to equip you to be those servants of God built up in Christ for a purpose of having faith in this world. Although I am on a platform that is higher than you, I am not here to entertain you. I am here to call you to the ministry God has called every Christian to, and that is to be busy for Him. We want to train disciples in the things of God so they can be disciplers of others for the things of God. There is such a self-focus in Christianity today that says everything about church should be about them. No, everything about church is to prepare you to do your work in God's ministry for His honor and His glory. And that means many times you're going to have to reject what Egypt has to offer. Moses' faith-based action was to forsake his privileged position. He left the luxury of Egypt. Not only this, but his faith-based action also allowed him to make the decision of not fearing the king. Let me stop here. Our faith will make us make decisions many times that are in complete contradiction to what the world tells us to make. The world may say to you, if you make this decision, we will offer you pleasure. We will offer you comfort. We will offer you this. And we as Christian parents sometimes get caught up in what the world offers instead of taking our responsibility serious through faith, saying, no, in this area of what the world offers, I'm going to forsake it because I have the power by faith to not enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, but to understand that there's an eternal reward if I follow Christ. We have let the world so many times say, this is what makes you important. And we need to give up everything about our children to fulfill our dreams. It's a male chauvinist thought today to say a best place for a wife is to be at home raising her kids. Oh, you're male chauvinist, Pastor James. How are our kids doing today since the moms left the home? Oh, they're doing great, aren't they? No, we let Egypt lie to us. Okay. Moses' faith-based action, again, was to forsake his privileged position, and he left the luxury of Egypt to go be a shepherd for 40 years on a backside of the desert. We understand that Moses had a reason to fear the king. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, 11 through 15. Exodus chapter 2, 11 through 15. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrew stove together, and he said to them, to him that did wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So we see here, Moses had to flee because he took a matter into his own hand and smote an Egyptian. The word got out and fear came upon Moses, so he fled. Stephen gives us the Moses' thinking of why he did this in Acts 7, 23 through 29. Now again, I will repeat this. Acts and Stephen in this passage in Acts chapter 7 is showing the Jewish people that they've always rejected what God has given them and the saviors that God has given them. And he uses Moses as an example of the people of Egypt rejecting them. They rejected Moses. They're also going to reject Christ. Acts 7, 23 through 29. Acts 7, 23 through 29. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have sent them at one again, saying, "Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. So this account enlightens us regarding the point that God is taking away Moses for a certain purpose. Now Moses, according to Acts chapter 7 through Stephen's account, had noticed that he had been risen up in a certain position to free his people. All right? And then he began to make decisions of trying to help show the children of Israel that they had power and they had a voice, that they could make decisions, and that he was in a very high place, in a high position within government that probably could help them receive their freedom. He knew, according to Acts at this time, that he killed the Egyptian, that God had called him to a specific purpose of delivering his people. What did he do wrong? He began to depend on who? Himself to accomplish his God's purposes. Again, I'll say this, and I said this yesterday. God gives us a specific calling, and he leads us in specific ways within life. He gives us sometimes, as it were, a light to our feet and a light to our path. He calls us, on the whole, to do specific things for him. But we must trust him as we are in the center of his will in doing what he's called us to do. We must trust him on every step we are to take within that will. We cannot depend on ourselves, or we're going to start making decisions like Moses is making here. Moses had a good heart in what he was doing. He wanted to accomplish God's calling in his life. He wanted to deliver God's people from the enslavement that they had in Egypt. But what happened? He started to depend on himself and ended up murdering somebody else. And how did the children of Israel respond to that? We accept you, Moses. We see your strength that God has given you and your position. We'll follow you. We understand that by faith, you will lead us out of Egypt. Is that how they responded? No, they said, the quote is, fire always begets fire, and wrong always begets wrong. And what is happening here? The people of Israel look at Moses and they reject him because he tried to do it his way. So, what does God do? He has to take Moses' dependence off of himself. What has Moses been raised in? He's been raised in the best educational system in that time. He has been given the best teachers of that time. He was mighty in words and deeds, as we saw in Acts chapter 7. Everything to equip him in the world standards to be a leader. You would say, wow, God has prepared him to lead. And God said, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. I'm going to take you from this privileged position. I'm going to make you go on the backside of the deserts. Because why? The system of Egypt's thinking is still in your brain. You still think you can do it your way and be successful, Moses, in what I've called you to do. Faith, again, faith helps us understand. Now, there's a war. Let me stop here. There's a war. When we're going through problems, there's this war that comes into us. And that war that comes into us tries us to make us forget that we're people of faith. Pressures of this world, situations of this world that are very close to us, when getting into those situations, cause us to act as the world would act instead of asking God, how do you want me to act? But you, of children of faith, should feel convicted when you act as the world would tell you to act instead of acting as the way God would tell you to act. You do realize that whatever you do, you're never an audience of one, Christian. You're always the audience of at least four people. Yourself, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. We're people of faith. We should understand that. The world would make it look to us like if we do things in a certain way, we will have success. And we might have success in the world's eyes, but what will we never have success if we do it the world's way in God's eyes? We will never have success in God's eyes, will we? And that's what matters to a Christian. Having success in God's eyes and through God's plan. So, Moses had this thought that he could accomplish God's will his own way instead of trusting in God. Exodus 6, 12 through 13. Exodus 6, 12 through 13. Here's what Exodus 6, 12 through 13 says. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am an uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh's king, and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So what is happening here? He goes, you know what? The children of Israel aren't going to listen to me. I can't even get my own people behind me. How am I going to get Pharaoh behind me? Have you ever felt that way in life? I can't even convince my own family or my own church people at times, or your church people that we're family with, to see how God is leading me. How in the world am I going to get the world to see how God's leading me? How in the world am I going to get, when we're struggling in a church, to see people really give up their lives over 100% to God? People that should know better, that grew up in the church, myself, you, know that there's a struggle at times to give ourselves 100% over to God and trust in God. How are we going to get people of the world to God? Now, that's what I was struggling with this week. We started teens this week, all right? And I want teens to come, well, it's like preteens, teens, all right? 9 to 18, because Tori's in it. But what's happening here? We're trying to convince people that following God's way is the way they should follow it. Having a relationship with God. Going to the Word of God and not just looking at the Word of God as a tool of understanding studies about creation, about all that. Really, established has very little to do with the stories of the Bible. It has more to do with how God is working His plan out through the Word of God. And how God works His plan out and is showing His nature and is showing our failure and how we need to turn to God in repentance and faith to have our sin debt erased. That's what the point of it is. And equipping the children at Bethel Baptist Church and the young people at Bethel Baptist Church to be able to express to other people in an understandable way how God's plan, what God's plan is through the Word of God. This is not just a study book. This is our life. Does everybody understand that? This is our life where we're reading about a real person, a real all-powerful being that created us, that longs to for us to dwell in His presence. You all understand that? This isn't just an intellectual exercise that we have on Sunday. This is something that we try to express to you, that there is a real God and that that real God wants to work in and through us for His glory. But we're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to give up Egypt in our life in order to see these things worked in us and through us. Now, we have looked at these verses last week in Exodus 6, 12 through 13. But I see God's encouragement to Moses had nothing to do with what Moses could produce. And remember, what is 14 through like the end of the chapter go through in Exodus, where we just read in Exodus 6, 12 through 13? You know what it goes through? It goes through God's providential plan, how He had Moses coming from the right people to fulfill a promise that He gave to his father Abraham. And how God worked it out perfectly and protected Moses for such a time as this. Why? Because it was according to God's providential plan that Moses would fulfill His will in the children of Israel. It wasn't through his own means that Moses was able to accomplish this. Moses' use to God was in realizing God's position over all. Even the removing of Moses' enemies was done without Moses' help. Isn't that interesting? Moses didn't have to kill anybody. Look at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 19. Exodus 4:19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Did Moses have to kill them? No. God took care of that. And He came at the perfect time in His perfect will to do things according to His perfect purpose, even though it meant Moses spending 40 years on the backside of the desert. He accomplished what needed to be done so Moses could go back and do his will. How many of you have ever feel pressured to try to make the will of God happen? That's not faith, that's flesh. Now that doesn't mean we're lazy and we don't study and we don't work hard. And that doesn't mean that we don't give our gifts that God has given to us completely over to God so he can use that for us. And that doesn't mean that we don't sharpen ourselves in our callings. Okay? Hopefully, Pastor James is a... And if I'm not, don't tell me. Okay? Hopefully I'm a better preacher now than I was 10 years ago. Okay? Don't have to shake your head. Don't have to shake it. No, don't have to shake it. Yes? But hopefully that is something that has happened. Hopefully I'm a better reader than I was 10 years ago. Because I was making this Bible say all sorts of stuff. Hopefully we are growing ourselves. If you're called to be a construction worker, hopefully you're better today than you were 10 years ago. Hopefully you're molding your craft. Hopefully you're taking every opportunity and experience that God allows in your life to mold you to be a better vessel emptied for his purpose. But at the same time, I just can't make things happen because I make them happen. We have to pray as a church, corporate unit of like-minded believers on things. I hope you guys that aren't involved in teens right now are praying for teens. And that God will use that to mold them to be better servants for you. I hope you that don't have children in the Patch Club and in the Sunday schools and the junior church are fervently praying that God would use these tools to mold them to help you as parents in your job of molding them as vessels for Christ. 1 Timothy 6:16. Well, let's turn to Hebrews Chapter 11, 27, first. So, when Moses, when he saw that God was making the path straight, he was filled with fear and trembling, but as he gave himself over more and more to God being the power behind his purpose. His purpose really is just God's purpose for him. Let me say it like that. As he yielded himself over more to the realization that God would empower him to fulfill God's purpose for him in his life, this is what happens. Hebrews 11:27 puts it like this. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Endured means to be strong, steadfast, firm. To endure, hold out, bear a burden. Hebrews 11:27 means that he endured, serve a severe yet voluntary exile with strength and courage. Moses was able to see what the physical eye could not see. You say, Pastor James, why do we feel so much as Christians like we're walking contradictions? One day I am so strong about what my path needs to be according to God's direction in my life for his glory. I don't like using my path. God's purpose for me as I yield to him. In other days, I'm looking to the world for help in what I'm supposed to do next. And what does that accomplish in my life? Well, it accomplishes making me look wishy-washy, double-minded, right? Look, the world is going to give a lot of us opportunities to be double-minded Christians. Be torn apart to do things one way or torn apart to do things a different way. That's not a fun way to live as a Christian. You're not filled with courage. You're filled with a spirit of fear. As a Christian, as we are filled with the spirit of fear, we need to identify that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the spirit of flesh. First Timothy 1:17 tells us the nature of God. What is the nature of God according to 1 Timothy 1:17? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the character of the God that we serve. He'll never die. He cannot be seen with physical eyes. He holds everything that is reality or truth in this world. How do we respond to Him? We give Him honor and glory just 2 days a week. How about 4 days a week? How about 7 days a week for 23 hours a day? Is that when we're to give Him honor and glory and worship? All the time. I understand we sleep, okay? When we sleep, we sleep. But every waking moment, we should realize that our lives are about honoring and glorifying this eternal, immortal, invisible God. First Timothy 6:16 says, "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." I think, Christian, that when the world says you have to do it the way we tell you to do it and mold your life the way we tell you to mold it, or you won't be successful, I think, Christian, that we should trust the all-wise God. How are we able to do that? Turning back to Hebrews chapter 11. How are we able to trust the all-wise God and not fear Egypt and the power of Egypt? Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Number one, what did he not fear? Not fearing the wrath of the king. Again, this world cries out for us to fear it. It cries out for us to fear the king. What was the point in Moses' life where he stopped fearing the king? When by faith he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. Now, how did that happen in Moses' life? Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 gives us the historical, at least one historical account, because many times God showed himself to Moses. But in Exodus chapter 3. Now remember, where is Moses when this is all happening? He's a shepherd on the backside of the desert, tending flocks for the last 40 years of his life. In fear to go back to Egypt, why? Because he feared the wrath of the king. Exodus 3, 1 through 6 gives us details on the historical fact when Moses was able to see whom was invisible. Here it tells us, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am I. And he said, draw nigh, not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So let's work this out. Here's Moses in Exodus chapter 3. He's working for his father-in-law. Always the position most son-in-laws want to be in, working for their father-in-law. And while he's working, watching his father-in-law's sheep, God allows this unbelievable experience to happen in his life, right? Now, Christian, don't go walking around London looking for burning bushes, okay? Did Moses have this? Do we have this?
Yes.
This is all we need with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life. Did Moses have the internal indwelling of the Holy Spirit within his life? Don't forget in John chapter 14, Jesus, God incarnate, walking amongst his disciples, showing them miracles, told them, it's very beneficial or expedient for you to go away. For me to go away from you. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the Word of God guiding us. But in Moses' life, this is how God dealt with him. He sees a bush on fire, not burning. And he hears a voice from that bush. And that gave him confidence to obey God. Now, it was a long conversation with God in that bush, okay? It wasn't just like, Moses, go do this. Okay, Moses had no more questions. I'm good. No, he had lots of questions. He was still a man like us, like unto us, that had his questions. But he was able to see the invisible because he allowed God's word to speak to him through a burning bush. Do you want to know how we can see the invisible? I'm not saying with physical eyes. We get into the Word of God. We beg the Holy Spirit to declare what the Word of God means. We do our studying. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And we will be powerful in our faith. When we look with our eyes at what we can see, we will be weak in our faith. So don't go home and light your bush on fire. Go home and get into the Word of God. And let the Holy Spirit point you to God's will for your life through His Word, because you're children of faith. You know, we'll stop here. I didn't even get through half the point I thought I'd get through today. We're going to pray, but guys, please, the point of my message is to help us as a church see that we have a real God that wants to lead us, and He wants us to be in His presence, and He wants us to follow the leadership of His presence through His Word and through His Spirit. We don't have to depend on ourselves. We don't have to go according to the mold the world wants to push us in so we'll be accepted. We can go by faith according to what God has given us, because it's about Him, not about us.